Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to read like the last 7 verses, something like that. Verse 26 to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I do have a title for this. It's called Made Unto Us. But this is the end, the conclusion of a whole section here that Paul wrote to these Corinthians. And it is a thing of wonder and a thing of grace that he has written, and it is a thing of wonderful mercy, and it is above all about our sovereign God from one end to the other. And I'm just going to start at verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Because right here in verse 29, we have no flesh should glory in his presence. Then we have verse 30, which I do want to speak about. And then verse 31, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. Yeah. So we've got this sandwiched on both ends. This is the conclusion of the base things and the weak things and the things that are not. That's us. I can put my hand up there. I'm part of that group. The things which are not, God has promised to use us to bring to naught the things that are. But it says that no flesh should glory in his presence. When he put that word that there, that little conjunction or adjective or whatever it is, it for the express purpose of. This whole thing, this whole section, it starts off for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For it is written, I will describe. For after that in the wisdom, verse 22, for the Jews, 23, but we preach Christ. You get the boom, 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 right down the line. Laying layer upon layer upon layer. And he's, but God. And here we have, but God has chosen the foolish things and the base things and that. For the express purpose, no flesh is going to glory in his sight. This is important to God. What's it say about pride? I think God doesn't like it. What is it, abomination? I think that's the word he used. That's what this is. The reason Paul writes this is because we do. We will glory. We will boast. We will brag in and of ourselves. And we'll do it even when we don't think we're doing it. Now, this in his presence. Walter, when are we not in his presence? When are we not in the presence of God? Now, I know right here, we're gathered together in his name. It said where two or three are gathered together. There he is in the midst of us, speaking of Christ. But David wrote in the Psalms, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So where are you going to go apart from the presence of God? There is nowhere. We have a theological term for it. They call it what? Omnipresence. And it means he's present everywhere. We are not to glory. No flesh is to glory in his presence. And that's right here, right now. Paul stated this plainly. And this word here used in this verse and in the last one, this word glory, it's a verb. It's an action. And why are we warned about this? Because we do it. We do it. Any boasting, any bragging, or any glorying done in this world is done in his presence. And we are not to do it. We do not take credit for anything to do with our salvation or our life, what we have, what we don't have. There are people who glory in what they don't do. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been in Baptist churches. I have. And I've seen Presbyterian ones on TV. Ain't no difference. There's no real difference. I was reading a fellow the other day, and he said, he wrote down that up until, I think it was 1724 or 1748, somewhere right around there, Arminianism was an aberration. You know, there had been several little cults or whatever you want to call them, or different groups, and it was there that people taught and believed free will. But it was not preached in the majority of Christian churches up until that time. And he blamed the Methodists. That's what he did. Well, he blamed Wesley. Not Whitfield. Wesley. And his little brother or whatever. I don't know. But now you look around. Now you look around and you can see it on television if you want. You can hear it on the radio if you want. There'll be people bragging about how they came to Christ and how they did what God wanted them to do, and see, you can do it too. That's not what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here at all. That is glorying in his presence. If you're talking about what you do for God, you're glorying in his presence.
Amen.
And we are not to do that. Now, that's pretty much the introduction, and actually it's also the conclusion. But here, in verse 30, is what I wanted to get to. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now here's another one of these conjunctions. But that no flesh should glory in his sight, in his presence. But here's one of the reasons why. This first statement where he says that word, puts that word but, puts a separation from the previous statement of no flesh glorying. We are told what we are not allowed to do. Now we are going to be told by the Apostle Paul what God has done to us. Now I've got a question for you. If you are in Christ Jesus, how are you in Christ Jesus? Paul answers it right here in this verse. He answers it clearly, plainly, succinctly, two little words. To the world of the false professors, this is a simple question. But to me, those two simple words that Paul uses to answer it are so profound, it's not even worth considering as the way the world looks at it. Because the world, their answer to that question, how are you in Christ Jesus? Their answer is, I. I prayed to prayer. I followed the Romans road. I came to Jesus. I gave Jesus my heart. I called upon the name of the Lord, which is a good statement if you know who the Lord is that you're calling on. Or simply, I believed. To believers, this is a profound question. How are you in Christ Jesus? And Paul answers it here simply but profoundly, because this is how are, and that is present tense. Right now, how are you in Christ Jesus? Paul answers it with two words. Of Him.
Amen.
And it's talking about God the Father. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Walter, I have quoted that verse over and over again, and it hit me about a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. That, man, I glossed over that part because I was looking at the wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, which is glorious. But this two little words here, Paul throws in, if you know the God of the Bible, Paul's teaching here the sovereignty of that God,
Amen.
Of that Bible, in salvation. Oh, y'all just like that stuff. It's just nothing. No, it's everywhere. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Present tense, right now, continuing. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus. You are. I am. If you're in Him, it's of God. It's not of man. No flesh will glory in His presence. No flesh should. And He's not going to have it. What does that mean? How are believers brought into Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not talking about election here, although election is true. Because there comes a time in life, and it's God's time, when every chosen child of God is born from above and actually brought into Christ Jesus. There's a time, and it's God's time, and it's the perfect time, and He does it in a perfect way. This must happen because Christ said it must happen. Being chosen in Christ is one thing. And it's a glorious thing. But actually being in Christ are two separate things. They're both true. They're both glorious. But this is what Paul's talking here. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Present tense. Now Paul, we know from his writings, he believes that elect before the foundation of the world. But he also teaches that election is unto salvation. It is unto being brought into, born from above into Christ. And Christ said it Himself. Verily, Jesus answered and said unto Him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. From our perspective, from our point of view, that's where this all starts. This is where, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. John had already wrote of this in his introduction to his gospel. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. It's not of blood, it's not of family, it's not of lineage, it's not of the will of the flesh, free or not. Because there is no free will. It's of the will of God. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. You are either in Christ Jesus of God, or you are not in Christ Jesus. So if your testimony is, I, you better make your calling and election sure. Because it should be him.
Yeah.
It should be Christ, God, Spirit. God puts his people in Christ Jesus. Of him are ye in. Ye are either born of God, or you are not in Christ Jesus. That's not saying you may not be. You may be elect. That's a whole other thing. But if God hasn't put you in Christ yet, you're not in Christ yet. You might be chosen in Christ, and you might not. I can't tell the difference. This goes for the elect as well as the reprobate. Election is a wonderful, gracious, merciful reality, but election is not salvation. Right. It is unto it.
Right.
Elect unto. Every single one chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation in the world, and I believe that with all my heart, but must be born from above in Christ Jesus. And it's God's work.
Yeah.
Totally and completely. You, no flesh shall glory in his presence. And you understand, he said that, he's going to fix it so it comes out that way.
Yes.
You know? Believers know who's in control. Now, you may not know it at first. All you may know is that you've been backed into a corner and put in a place, Mason, of no choice other than Christ. He'll put you where you have nowhere to turn to. But guess what? He's the one that put you there. And he's the one that will put you in Jesus Christ. Or you will never be in Christ Jesus. The next part. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Wait a minute, who's doing this part? It's God. That little scripture in John 5 that people seem to leave over. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom the Father has sent. You're born from above by the power of the Spirit. You're given faith and believe by the Father. It all comes from God.
Amen.
From beginning to end. God works in his people. And this is the result of being born by God and being placed in Christ Jesus. The same one who in time put us in Christ Jesus makes Christ Jesus unto us these things. Again, Paul writes of the distinction between of those who believe and those who disbelieve. This is unto us. It's there. Now, this us spoken of, written here, verse 2, it's called the saints at Corinth. Verse 9 is those that are called by God unto the fellowship of Christ Jesus. In verse 18, it's unto us which are saved. I just saw this morning, Walter. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. You look at that statement, it's followed by that, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And I got to thinking, when I looked at that this morning, that's a positive statement. We usually say it as a negative. Well, you know, there's some that just won't believe. There's some that don't believe, and it bothers us. And I understand that. And I've got family. I've got friends that don't know Christ, and I wish they did. But this is here. Paul says this with that little word "for" in front of it, for the purpose of, and it's a positive, not a negative. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's the purpose of the gospel. To them that perish, it's foolishness. But to us which are saved, pay very close attention to that, which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the same preaching. It's the same sowing. It's the same message of the free and sovereign grace of God is the savior of death unto those who are dead. And it is the savior of life unto those who are alive. That's the positive message. It's not a negative. This is the way God has purposed for the gospel to work. His people will receive it if they're in Christ Jesus. And they're in Christ Jesus of Him. His people will receive it. His gospel. His truth. In verse 24 it says, those which are called, Jews and Greeks both. Both. In verse 26 it says, those who see their calling. And Paul calls them brethren. Christ is made unto us. Christ is made unto us by God who put us in Christ Jesus, then he makes Jesus Christ unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And I'm going to go into that next week. That's what I got left. and it's time to quit. You'll see here, in this whole section here, from where Christ sent me not to baptize, for the preaching of the cross is them that perish. You'll see called, you'll see calling, you'll see God is chosen. You will not ever see in here your answer. That's what people in the world around us are all concerned about. We're calling. What's your answer to God? God calls you. Your answer is yes. It's the call from Him that's important. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. He's going to put you exactly where He wants you, and you're going to like it. Walter and I talked a little bit the other day. I got to thinking about it because there is the argument against us. Well, y'all preach that people come kicking and screaming, God drags them into heaven. Well, I don't know about the screaming part, but I do know about the kicking. That's scriptural. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Who was kicking? Saul was. You can kick all you want. You ain't gonna bother God. You ain't gonna stop Him. You ain't gonna slow Him down. You're not gonna get in His way. Because I'm gonna tell you, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. And He will bring you. Jesus told that. We talk about, He picks that sheep up, puts it on His shoulder, and He brings it where. How much cooperation did He get out of that sheep? None. The sheep did his part. He was lost. People think we're just pulling this stuff out of thin air. It's all throughout the scriptures. God has done so much for us, but God has done so much to us. Of Him ye are in Christ Jesus. We're in Him. And because we're in Him, we get multiple blessings. And guess what? They come from Him too. All of it does. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time and this place. But thank You most of all for our Good Shepherd who does bring all of His sheep into His fold and feeds them in pastures of love. Thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your love, for Your power, for Your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.